feels good in God's house this morning. Feels like home in here this morning. I'm so glad to be here. And y'all gonna think that was planned, but that was not planned. They don't have a clue what I'm gonna preach, but I'm gonna preach about that a little bit today. And so I just feel like I'm kind of in the will of God this morning. So good to be here. Very rarely am I here this soon after I've come through. I was here like a month ago. But it's good to be here with my Bates family. And I call them family. Now, they can disown me if they want to, but they're stuck with me. I'm kind of like a bad toothache. I'm just not going to go away. But I love your pastors, Kevin and Kayla, and their family. Bliss in Boston, and then of course the Right Reverend Bishop George Bates and Sister Shirley. I love them so much. There's just nobody in the world like these people, and I just feel like I'm home this morning. Life Church is just an extension of my home, and I love being here every time that I get to come. I leave refreshed. I don't know, y'all may leave depressed or something, but I leave refreshed and in my spirit and my soul. And so it's an honor to be here with you. Just remain standing for just another moment. You can keep on going for right now till we sit down, Landy. I don't want you to stop just yet. It feels good. That Isaiah 43 passage of scripture that comes around this time of year every year in my mind. I don't preach on it every year, but it's just one of these scriptures that you get when you get to this time of year. And for whatever reason, coming into 2021, my heart was drawn to this, and I have been talking to City Hills, the church that I'm honored and blessed to lead, the last couple of weeks around this scripture, and I just haven't been able to shake free from it, so they're going to have to hear it for a few more weeks, I guess, but I'm going to just give it to you here this morning in the next 25 or 30 minutes. But I really feel like that God has been speaking to me through this because I need it, and hopefully it can bless some of you here today. I want to set this up just real quick. We're just going to read. Isaiah was a prophet in the Old Testament to God's people. And this particular passage of scripture, he is speaking to the people of God after they have been in bondage and servitude and living under the oppression of a maniacal and horrible, brutal regime called the Babylonian Empire. They had actually been enslaved to the Babylonians for some 7 decades by this point. Many people that were born in those 70 years didn't know what freedom even looked like, felt like, sounded like. But God is speaking through the prophet to this people, and he's given them a promise. Now, I know 2020 was a rough year for everybody on some level. And we're not... We all feel that on some level in the last year of our lives. It's affected all of us differently. But can you imagine 70 years? 70 2020s backed up in a row. This is what these people were feeling. And God speaks through a man, and this is what he says. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sakes, I will send an army against Babylon, forcing the Babylonians to flee in those ships that they're so proud of. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator and King. I love he says Creator and King. That'll be important. I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters. So now watch what he does. He's referring them to a time in the history of God's people that he moved in a mighty way. He says, I'm the God that opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots and horses. I drew them beneath the waves and they drowned, their lives snuffed out like a smoldering candle wick. So God refers to a time in the nation of Israel's past, generations past, and their ancestors that had been in slavery and bondage to another group of people called the Egyptians, not for 70 years, but for 400 years. And he says, I want you to recall what I did for them. I delivered them from their oppressed path through the Red Sea. I drowned Pharaoh and his army and their oppressors in it behind them on their way to freedom. I don't know what kind of year. I'm going to let you sit down in a minute. Don't freak out. I can see some of you getting a worried look on your face. All right. I don't know what kind of year 2020 was to you. I don't know what tragedy, I don't know what trial, I don't know what stress, I don't know what anxiety you had to muddle through and you worked through. And no doubt many of us are standing here in this place this morning as we begin a new year, still with the remnants and the residue, still facing some of the same uncertainties, still facing some of the same problems. But I want to, for a few minutes here this morning, if I could, call to your remembrance a time in your past when God was good to you. God's saying to his people right now, you're standing 70 years deep into slavery and servitude, but don't you forget I'm good. Don't you forget that I'm a creator. Don't you forget that Nebuchadnezzar's not king, I'm king. I want you to remember that. And no matter what kind of year we've all had, can I just focus your mind here for this second and tell you, if you're standing here, if you're breathing this air, if you're in this place this morning with you, if it to you, if you are here, if you've got your family with you, if you got somebody you love standing next to you, God has been good. He says, I want you to remember. And why is God causing them to remember? Because he wants them to know. I'm about to tell you, I can back it up. I want you to remember that. Because I'm about to give you a promise. And you're going to doubt it. But before I give it, you need to understand that whatever I say, I can back up. I've got the corn in the crib. So remember it. And then he says this odd thing after he tells them to remember it. I'll hurry. I'll let you sit down a second. Forget it. He says, remember it. Now I want you to forget it. What are you talking about, God? I want you to remember it because I want you to know that I can do it. But then I want you to forget it because it's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. As good as I've been in the past, can I tell you what's in front of you is better than what's behind? I feel like preaching this morning. What's in front of you is better than what's behind you. For I am about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. The animals in the fields will thank me, the jackals and owls too, for giving them water in the desert. Yes, I will make rivers in the dry wasteland so my chosen people can be refreshed. You can be seated. God says, I'm going to do something new. Remember the good things, but I'm about to do something for you, Israel, that I've never done for anybody else to this point. And as good as I was to your ancestors, I get better and better and better with time and with each generation. Can I tell us here at 2021, the beginning of a brand new year, that God wants to do something new? He wants to do something new in your life individually. He wants to do something new in this church collectively. He wants to do something new in His global church and around the world. Why? Because God said, I'm a creator. And it's important to understand and realize and remember that the God that you and I serve, not only is He King, He is Creator. And that's important because you and I, we see from a very limited perspective, and we look around us and we, in our own lives, see destruction maybe and heartache and disappointment and anxiety and frustration. And we certainly look at a world around us and we see brokenness and confusion. We see chaos and we think, how in the world is all of this going to get fixed? And we look at it and see, because we are not creators, all we see is what we have to work with. And because we think we don't have much to work with, we don't have much hope for what it will be. But God said, don't forget, I'm a creator. And creators don't need anything. May I remind you, in Genesis 1, God stepped out into nothing. He stepped out into darkness and He said, let there be. And it didn't matter how long the dark had been there. It didn't matter how void and thick it was. When the creators started speaking, the darkness had to flee. And God says to Israel, His people, I don't need you to have favorable circumstances in Babylon to do with you what I'm going to do with you. I don't need you to have the favor of Nebuchadnezzar. I don't need you to have the favor of the government. I don't need you to have the favor of all the officials that have the power to set you free and go be your own people. I don't need any of those odds working in your favor, because I'm a creator. And when I get ready to move, I can move how I want to, when I want to, with whom I want to, and I can create anything I want to when I get ready. So I'm going to do something new. God's best is not behind you. Somebody needs to hear me this morning. You came here and you thought that the goodness of God in your life was behind you. You came here and you thought that you had seen, we often refer to the good old days, right? We often sit around and we talk about the good old days. And every time I hear somebody tell about the good old days, I think to myself, that don't sound all that good. You know what I'm saying? I kind of like internet. I kind of like my iPhone, right? I mean, if all of us would be honest with ourselves, we, you know, don't want to go back to the times when we had to live in Franklin Parish with no air conditioning and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. I kind of like getting in my car and getting to where I want to go. We kind of tend to have this propensity to glamorize the good old days. And I get it. I know what we're really talking about there. But I want to encourage you and you to understand that God is a creator. And He's always creating new things. And the Bible says that God takes you and I from faith to faith and from glory to glory. Not backwards, but forwards. God's always at work. If we will surrender our life and we will surrender our future to Him, He's got stuff in front of you that you haven't even seen yet and you haven't even got to yet. Good to this church. And I love talking to your pastor and hearing the stories of how God has blessed it through these last 10 years or so. And now here we are in a brand new facility that God has given you so that you can expand your ministry and reach more people. And can I tell you, the miracles that you've seen in the past that's brought you to this moment, though they were good and great and you wouldn't be here without them, can I tell you that 2021, God's got better stuff for you. You haven't seen anything yet, God says. I've got stuff I want to do for you. And the future is better than what's in your past. I want to do something new. But I got to get to my sermon real quick, okay? Or we will be here forever, way longer than what you want to be here. But here's the problem with all that. It's in his next statement to them. He says, it's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. I'm going to do something new. See, I have already begun it. Do you not see it? And there's the problem. That's my problem. That's your problem. And that's always been God's kids' problem. Is we have a problem seeing it. He tells them through the prophet Isaiah, I've already begun it. Now they're still in servitude. They're still living under the heavy hand of the oppressive Babylonian Empire. And God gives them this promise that I am going to free you, deliver you, and give you everything that you've wanted for these last 70 years. And as a matter of fact, I've already begun it. Now, if you would have asked any of those people that received that word of prophecy on that day, do you believe God's at work? They would have more than likely told you, absolutely not. God at work 70 years in and we're still in slavery? What do you mean God at work? I've prayed, I've fasted, we've believed, my granddaddy believed, my daddy believed, I believe, and yet we still haven't seen anything. We've been hearing about deliverance and we've been hearing about God's goodness, but yet here we are 70 years in and we are still slaves to Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon. Here we are. What do you mean God's been at work? If God was at work, we wouldn't be here. And that's the way you and I and all of us are conditioned to believe from our human perspective. God's activity on what we can see with our natural eye. And we believe God's at work after we've crossed the Red Sea. We believe God is at work once we see Pharaoh and his army drowned as the waters come back together. At that moment in time, Miriam will take her tambourine and start dancing and praising, and we all lift our hands and say, God's at work. But what those Israelites fail to understand is God was at work on the other side too. Even when they couldn't see it with their natural eye, God says to his people, he asks them this rhetorical question, can you not see it? God is calling his people, and I believe God is calling his people today, me and you. He's calling us. He's telling us, don't be fooled by what you can see with your natural eye. Don't be fooled by what your five senses, your sight, your smell, your touch, your taste. Don't be fooled by what you can only taste, touch, see, and hear with your natural eye, because your natural senses will fool you and cause you to believe a lie, and it will cause you to think that I'm not at work, that somehow I've gone on vacation, that somehow I'm not in the middle of it. But if you read the Bible, one of the things that comes to the surface very quickly, if you read between the lines at all, is that God is always at work in the mess. Now, we see the mess and we think God is absent, because if God is in it, it wouldn't be a mess. But the scripture reveals a God that is always at work in the mess. And he calls his people to have eyes of the Spirit, to be able to perceive what other people cannot perceive. To come here on 2021 with an encouraging word for somebody that's going through something in your life, or maybe you're concerned about the state of affairs of this world and you have thought that God has just given up, or he's thrown in the white towel, and you've thought maybe God can't even rescue you, or God can't even get us out of this mess. I just want to give you a word of faith like Isaiah told those people of God that day. Don't be fooled that even though you may be living in a mess, God is already at work. That God is there. He's been at work. And he is getting something new ready for your life and for my life. I love this story in John, the 11th chapter, when Jesus has a friend by the name of Lazarus that falls deathly sick. And Mary and Martha, his sisters, they send word to Jesus and they send word to him, hey, the person you love, the dearest friend you have, he's sick unto death. We need you to come. I know you're out healing everybody else. I know you're out ministering to everybody else. But hey, the one you love, your closest friend, he needs you now. And the Bible says when Jesus got that word, he stayed where he was. As a matter of fact, he stayed a couple of days. And then he looks at his disciples and says, it's time to go. He makes this peculiar statement in John, the 11th chapter. He says, Lazarus is dead. I'm glad. What kind of person would say that? And he goes, makes his way to Bethany. There's Mary and Martha, his sisters, Lazarus' sisters. It's heartbroken. And they meet him. And they're pouring out their heart. They're so hurt. They're hurt at the loss of their dear brother. But they're also hurt that someone that they put so much faith and confidence in, someone that had healed so many other people before them, did not come when they asked him to come. He did not answer in the way that they thought he should answer. And they told him through tears and agony and groanings, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. But if you continue to read through John, the 11th chapter, Jesus looks at them and says, hey, Mary, Martha, take me to where Lazarus is laid. And he gets there and he tells them, I am the resurrection. And they go into this whole dialogue and they say, Lord, we know that he'll rise again at the last day and the resurrection of the dead and all that. And he looks at them and says, no, you missed it. I am the resurrection, Mary and Martha, not I'm going to be someday in the future when you think the odds get favorable and everything is just right for your miracle to happen. I am presently in the mess, in the heartache, when everybody else says it's hopeless, when the stone's been covering the dead body for 4 days and he's all, and I still am at work in the mess. Do you not see it? And they rolled the stone away, and the Creator, the one that needs nothing to take something and make something, says, Lazarus, come forth. And it didn't matter how long death's icy cold grip call him out of that grave, death had to let him go, and Lazarus got up and walked out. Sorry, I got to keep my seatbelt on here this morning. But can I tell you, I feel so much faith and hope. And if I'm not preaching to anybody this year so far, I'm preaching to Jeffrey. And God won't let me get off this. That even though we may not can see it with our natural eye, and even though all of the indicators and all of the things that we read and all of the things that we hear may say that it's nothing but doom and gloom ahead, God's saying, hey, you need to cut off CNN and Fox News and MSNBC and Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and whatever else is out there, and you need to stop seeing through their eyes and that lens, and you need to be able to see through eyes of the Spirit that even in the middle of a mess, I'm already been it. Well, you think this surprises me? You think this caught me off guard? No, I've got everybody right where I want them in order to accomplish the purpose and the plan and the will of God of what I have for you in the future. And the future is greater than what's behind you.
You have to believe God's just that big. You have to believe God's just that good. You got to be able to believe that standing 70 years deep in slavery, God is still a deliverer, and He's still the King, and He's still the Creator. And you may not know how, but He's going to get you to the other side.
Time is already done. Isn't it amazing that we're all different? But this is so important, because how you see and what you see determines the trajectory of your life. Have you ever thought it peculiar that you can take two people and you can present a scenario to them, let them see it, and get their perspective on it? And they'll see the same thing. They'll see the same facts. And you'll get two different perspectives. Because though the facts that you can see with your natural eye are the same, we filter it through a second lens. And that is our perspective. And whereas some people look at a scenario and all they can see is what went wrong, all they can see is the tragedy, all they can see is the hurt, all they can see is doom and gloom. And I don't know how we're ever going to get out of this. And I don't know if we'll ever come back from this. You'll get that report. And then you'll ask the person standing right beside them, what do you see? They'll say, opportunity. Well, if we do this and invest in this, we can get a return on that, and this sets this up. I know it's bad, but if we look at it through these lens, it might actually work to our... You know what I'm talking about? Anybody, you remember back when I think this is back probably when I was in high school, I guess it was like 90s. You remember these things were really big back then, those 3D picture deals that looked like a big kaleidoscope, and they'd have you know, you got to stare at it and put it all kind of angles. I wasn't really good at it. I mean, I'd be turning upside down on my head, crossing my eyes, and, you know, but if you could stare at it and look at it just right, then all of a sudden a 3D image would just kind of pop out of it. You remember those? You know what I'm talking about? The image, it's always there, but not everybody could see it, because it determined how you were looking at it and the perspective you had on it. And your life is like that. And the reason why some people walk through life living a subpar life is because they can't get their eyes off of all the negativity long enough to see that despite negativity, God is still at work. That despite what's going on around you, and guess what? We all go through it. There's not one of us. The scripture says that man born to this world, his days are full of trouble. Jesus says that you shall have tribulation. Like Jesus says, you know, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. All of us. None of us are exempt. None of us have a get out of jail free card that we can play to avoid that. We all are going to face tragedy. We're all going to face heartache. Every one of us. But Jesus also said right behind that, but be of good cheer. Why? Because even though you're going to face tragedy and you're going to be in a mess, I, in spite of the way it looks with the natural eye, have overcome it. The reason why I came and went to a cross and rose again on the third day is so that you could understand and know that no matter what comes against you and no matter what you face in your life, that I have overcome the world, and there is peace and there is hope and there is a future in front of you in spite of it. But you gotta see. Do you not see it? It was one of the biggest frustrations God had with His people from the Old Testament to the New Testament, was being able to get them to see, because they were always frustrated about what they were looking at with their natural eye. And God was always saying, no, 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 no. You have to see with a different lens. You have to see through eyes of the Spirit. Okay, I got to quit. 2 Kings, the 6th chapter. Another prophet
in Israel. Another time when an outside enemy was trying to defeat the people of God. And there's this prophet named Elisha. He was a seer. They called them the seer. See, prophets, it wasn't just that they, and some of them did, they were able to, God spoke to them and they were able to predict things in the future. That was part of their office. But even more so, the biggest majority of their office was fulfilled in their ability to see what was happening right now the proper way. And they would give messages of hope to people. The seers of Israel. Those that didn't just read the headlines and buy it hook, line, and sinker and think that that was the hope of the world. But knew that there was a king and a creator that was at work in spite of what they saw with their natural eye. And so this man, Elisha, God would speak to him about where the enemy would be, and he would send word to the king of Israel. And when the enemy would be laying in wait and ambush to ambush their armies, Israel wouldn't be where they were supposed to be. And this ticked the king of Aram off. And he thought, there's a spy in my cabinet that's telling Israel where we're going to be, and they're not showing up where they're supposed to be. And they, you know, he did the whole thing. He interrogated all of his closest allies and all of his closest generals. They couldn't find the mole. They couldn't find the spy. And finally they said to him, sir, we found there is a seer. There is a prophet in Israel named Elisha, and God speaks to him, and he's been telling him where we are, and he's been telling the king, and he says, okay, let's go get Elisha. And so the king of Aram finds out that Elisha is in Dothan, this city called Dothan. And he says, we're going to take our army and we're going to surround. You can take everything out. If you can take your ability to see away from you, then the enemy has you. And that's what God has been trying to get my attention with is, what's been going on in 2020? What's been going on in your life in the last year? I think it's an attack of the enemy to get your eyes. My God, somebody hear me. If the enemy can steal your vision, he's got you. If he can get you to believe a lie, he's got you. And the king of Aram knew this. And so he says, forget the army, forget the king of Israel. We're going after the seer. We're going to surround him. And we're going to take him out. And if we can take the seer out, we've got him. And so that's what they do. They find out he's a Dothan. He takes all of his army, his chariots, surrounds it. They've got him cornered. There's no escape. There's no way out. So we pick up in 2 Kings 6. The report comes back to the king of Aram. Elisha's at Dothan. So what does he do? He sends a great army with many chariots and horses, and he surrounds the city. Watch what happens. When the servant of the Lord got up early the next morning and went outside, there were troops, horses, and chariots everywhere. This is what he is seeing with his natural eye. Does what many, and the servant of Elisha does what many of us, including me, would have done, more than likely. He freaks out. Wakes up, can you imagine, wiping the sleep out of his eyes, yawning, walks outside to stretch, looks, holy cow. Surrounded us. The scripture says it was many soldiers and many chariots. And immediately he felt hopeless and helpless, like his back was against the wall. Anybody ever been there? Anybody ever had one of them mornings when you get up? It's supposed to be just another day. Mid-yawn and mid-stretch, all of a sudden, an army you wouldn't expect. A report that you weren't looking for. Surrounded. He freaks out. horses and chariots everywhere. And the young man, he goes and he cries to Elisha. He says, "Oh, sir, what will we do now?" But I love Elisha, the seer. Thank God for a seer. He says, "Don't be afraid, for there are more on our side than theirs." I wish my time wasn't up. I'd just stop right there for a few minutes and talk to you about there's more for you than against you. And it may look from your perspective like it's you and a prophet, two of you, against a whole army full of chariots that's got the city surrounded. But can I tell you, God don't need favorable odds. Two and God is a majority. It doesn't matter how much the enemy has come against you. It doesn't matter how bad or hopeless or helpless it may seem in your life. There's a majority when you got God on your side. Elisha calms him down and says, "There's more for us." I know what you're seeing with your natural eye. I know the first thing you saw as the sun came up over that horizon. I know what your senses told you. And I know what your anxiety and your fear, and I know what your head and your frustrations are telling you. But let me encourage you, there's more for you than against you. And here it comes. Elisha prayed. Like, what are you talking about? Open my eye. They're plenty open, Elisha. I know what I saw. No. You can't see yet. You think you can see, but you can't see yet. Lord, open his eyes and let him see. Watch this. The Lord opened the young man's eyes. And when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. That from the natural perspective, the armies of Aram had them surrounded. But from the more real perspective, that there had been dispatched by God Almighty, the Creator and King, an army of angels from heaven that were literally standing in chariots of fire that had surrounded not only Elisha and his servant, but they had surrounded the armies of the enemy that had surrounded the seer and the servant. And he realized that, yes, when he saw, there are more for us than there is. And if you keep reading that passage, you'll find that the heaven's armies moved and gave God's people a great victory that day. And what looked like certain defeat from the servant's perspective on that morning, from the seer's perspective, that God was already at work. God was already at work. And I just want to leave you with that last phrase and that last sentence, because it's the linchpin of the entire thing. And it's kind of nestled in between there in the middle. And if you don't read it just right, you'll miss the whole key to you and I being able to see. That last verse, you can throw it back up there. Watch this. Right there in the middle. "And when he looked up, he saw." When he looked up, he got his eyes. You see, you can't stay focused on the horizontal.
You can't stay focused on what's right in front of you, the armies that have surrounded you, and the headlines, and the doomsayers, and everything that's gone wrong in your life, and the doctor's reports, and the emails, and the messages. If you stay right there on that plane with the servant, you will go to your grave in anxiety and frustration and fear, always fighting what has surrounded you. But if you will look up, you will see that what has surrounded you, God has surrounded it with chariots of fire. And He's got a plan, and He's got a purpose, and He's going to bring you through, and He's going to bring you out. And even though it doesn't look like He's at work, when you're standing there surrounded, He's already been at work. You just have to trust Him and stop looking in front of you and look above you. And place this morning, come on, stand with me. I want to preach hope into somebody this morning. I want to preach hope. I want to preach faith back into somebody that you've walked in here and it's been a long time since you've heard good news, and it's been a long time since you've allowed yourself to believe good news. Come on this morning and look up with me. Look up. Come on, Canon 2021, can we just make a resolution that I'm going to look up? I'm going to look up. I'm going to get my eyes off all this mess that's around me. I'm going to get my eyes off of what's in front of me. I'm going to get my eyes off of what Twitter is telling me and Facebook is telling me and CNN and Fox News and everybody's telling me. I'm going to look up in 2021 and believe that God is on the throne and the Creator is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or ever think. Can you see it? For those that can see, you will taste victory and you will find hope and you will know that your future is greater than your past. Come on, close your eyes with me all over this house. Lift up your hands. Come on, I don't know who I'm preaching to this morning. I don't know who I'm talking to, but God sent me to tell somebody, you've got a future. You've got a hope. Come on. I want us just to take a minute. The worship team's going to come. They're going to lead us in a moment of worship. But as they do, I want you to close your eyes. I want you to forget about who's around you. I want you to forget about what you got to do in about 5 minutes when we walk out of here. And I want you to take about 5 minutes in the presence of God. And I want you to pray what Elisha prayed. God, open my eyes this year. Open my eyes in my life. Open my eyes to my circumstance. Open my eyes in my family. Open my eyes. See everything that you want me to see. Come on, let's pray and ask God to do that in this house. Can we do it? All over this place, Jesus, help us to see. Help us to see this morning. Don't let us go through another year, Lord, blinded by circumstance. Don't let us go through another year, Lord, blinded by the things the adversary wants to throw at us. Let us be seers. Let us have faith in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, God's moving right now in this place. Yes, He is.
Over and over.
Hallelujah.
Yes, I have a hope found in Your name. I have a strength found in Your name.
Come on, if you need strength, God's here to give you strength in this moment. If you need hope, God's here to give you hope this morning.
Over and over.
Don't leave this place without it. Don't leave this place without your eyesight being adjusted.
Walk me through the fire.
Give us
do
eyes
what
see.
You are famous for.
Do what only you can do.
What you are famous for. Shut the mouths of lions. Bring dry bones to life. Do what you are famous for. What you are famous for.
I believe in You. Oh God, I believe.
Why he has to grace this pulpit. He always brings a word that he's heard from God, a living word, a right now word, a word that is for us. Thank you, Jeffrey Goodman. And I have one other person to thank. Jeffrey was only here a month ago. We would have never called and invited him to come just 1 month later. Don't even know if he could have, if we would have. But there's a man in this community who's no longer with us physically. His name is Donnie Johnson. And he served and he gave and he gave of himself to his family. He gave of himself to his community. He gave of himself to the sheriff's department. He gave of himself to everybody he was around. And in his death, he gave us another gift. He gave us a word today, because Jeffrey Goodman wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for that. And so I want to honor Donnie Johnson today as well. And I honor the Lord in his life. In closing today, I want to ask our worship team, can we, as everybody's leaving today, as we're walking out, can we sing that chorus over again today that we just sang? And let's go out today with a celebration. And this is how I want us to close this out today. Jeffrey already had us do it, but I want to do it one more time. Normally at this time, we say every head bow and every eye closed. But I think that would contradict the word today. So here's what I want to ask us all to do in your own way. Could you look toward the heavens today, eyes wide open, head held high, eyes looking to the sky, not this black ceiling here, but the kingdom of God that is alive and well and working right now. And let this be our closing prayer today. God, open our eyes that we may see. We look unto you, the author and the perfecter of our faith. We honor you and we bless you today, God. We thank you for who you are, that you are alive and well, not yesterday, but today and forever. Open our eyes, God. We bless
you. Make way through the water. Walk me through the fire. Do what you are famous for. What you are famous for. Shut the mouths of lions. Bring dry bones to life. And do what you are famous for.
Come on,
what
one more time. Make way.
Make way through the water. Walk me through the fire. Do what you are famous for.
Yes, I.